We're here this morning. If you are online or listening, Miss Alice, you are looking at First Baptist Church of Welcome, and this bald head belongs to Pastor Mark Hashagen. Hello.
Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6, right? Okay. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel." And may God bless his word.
This looks a little different than normal, right? I shared with some of the people on Friday, maybe mid-afternoon or so. I had my message already prepared for this week, and and ready to go. And just like Sherry, about 2:30, quarter to 3 in the morning, the Lord woke me up. I mean, straight up. I mean, my mind wasn't even foggy. I was awake. And he told me I wasn't going to do the message that I had spent the week preparing. He told me the same thing he told Sherry, which is why she did hers, because he wanted her to be her testimony to be the same time I've given you my testimony. Now, some of you have heard parts of my testimony over the years. And like Sherry, I'm not going to give you the unabridged version, because that would take way too long, and we would have to have pizza ordered in. Oh, Jake wants pizza. But here's something that was interesting part of what God woke me up. Some of you here remember Brother John Fiedler was a good friend of mine in the car business. We met, I trained him and taught him how to be a Christian car salesman, believe it or not. And then John started coming here, and he became one of our deacons. And John was tortured. I mean, John had a lot of stuff going on in his life. And John was an amazing songwriter. I mean, one Sunday Chris was up here, and he was talking about, saw the puppets or something, and he said there was cartwheel, you know, they made cartwheels in his heart. The next Sunday, John had written a song called "Cartwheels in My Heart." In anyway, I digress. After I woke up, and I'm sitting there going, how am I going to do a testimony? First of all, like Sherry, it scares the stuff out of me, you know, because I'm just like all of you. We keep some of ourselves, right? We keep back. Like the one song that we sang this morning, you know, there are parts of us that nobody sees, that nobody knows but God. And I don't know how this is going to go, because I didn't write any of it down. So, you know, if you all start getting up and walking out. In any case, as I was sitting there trying to figure out the who, what's, and where's of how this would go at 3:00 in the morning. And brothers and sisters, I didn't even need a cup of coffee at that point. I mean, I was up. And Brother John's voice. Came to me. And he was singing, of course. Well, some of you know that John had made several CDs. Well, one of the songs on his CD was about the potter. That's what he was singing to me. And so, with that, in Psalm 139, I'm going to read the whole thing, so just sit tight for a minute. I'm reading out of King James, of course. God's word says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. And there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take up the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be my light around me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, there are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and against thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them as mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Give me a second. I want to get this music stand. We didn't practice props. So I ask your forgiveness for any blubbering that might happen. But I am prone to that sometimes. I'm not apologizing for it. I'm just saying it could happen. I was born into a Marine family. My dad was a Marine's Marine. Any of you that may have known my dad or had spoken to him the few times that he had come here would have known that, you know, I mean, he demanded respect. And of course, young people, our youth especially, you would have been calling the police on your parents if you were raised the way that our parents raised us. Except the police back then would have just said, they're your parents, do what they told you to do. In any case, you know, my parents were strict. You know, there was, you know, we were raised on respect. And I think most of you understand that. Most of you older understand about respect. I'm afraid that a lot of the younger ones don't quite know as much about respect. But we're trying to teach them. Anyway, I promised I wouldn't go down rabbit holes. That's another sermon. So I grew up in a Marine Corps family. My dad was a lifer in the Marine Corps. He spent 28 years in, and then he worked another 20 years for the Marine Corps after he retired. He was in the EOD, which was Explosive Ordnance Disposal, for 25 of his 28 years in the Marine Corps. So his life was almost always on the line. Spent four tours in Vietnam and one in Thailand when they were leaving Vietnam. So mom raised us when we were young. My mom was a ball of fire. She wasn't bigger in a minute. I mean, she was, you know, she wasn't small, but she was big personality-wise. But her heart was humongous. Her hand was bigger than her heart, though. In any case, we were brought up the way that I still believe kids ought to be brought up today. But all of that has made me into the person that I am today, along with a representation of all of these clay pots up here. Now, life throws things at us all the time. We don't know what's coming or what's happening and what's going to go. And of course, God's word tells us about that, right? in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. It tells us, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun, under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. And God has given us all that in our lives. And certainly He has given me all of that in my life. So this plain pot represents me in the potter's hand. When I'm born, when He thought about me, pretty unmarked, not broken yet, except for the hole in the bottom. But there is one tiny spot on it, one tiny mark. And that mark is from Adam and Eve in the garden. That mark is what we gathered in our sin. So we come out pretty intact, right? That's my life. I was born into a good family. And sin was in us, in me. But I didn't learn what sin was until later, right? Like all of us. So sin, and this imperfect life, but still whole, belongs to the Lord. Now, in the focal passage that Sherry read in Jeremiah, you know, John wrote that song so many years ago. And I looked for my CD and I just couldn't find it. I know it's there somewhere, but I guess God didn't want me to have it. In any case, I look at God and you look at your life and I look at my life and I see how He's worked it. How he's taken me in His hand. And how many times that pot that was me, that vessel, crumbled under His hands because of my sin, because of my imperfection. And it breaks my heart. And see this orange pot. I know it looks still the same color, but it's painted orange. This orange pot is the world. It's all the good things in the world that I wanted to be a part of, that you guys all wanted to be a part of, all you young people want to be a part of. You want the stuff in the world. And this orange pot was my life. I wanted money. I wanted to be seen. I wanted to be recognized. I wanted to do. As a young man, with my father being in the Marine Corps, growing up in the 70s, you know, where was the hair, guys? Hair was on the shoulders, right? Down the back. Guess where Pastor Mark's hair was high and tight. High and tight at Lackey High School in the mid-70s. Not cool. Right? I could wear bell bottoms and platform shoes and all that stuff with a high and tight. Not cool. So you had to learn how to be, to overcome your shortcomings or my short hair. So you do things, you say things, you be things that you shouldn't. And so the things of the world became important to me. Clothes, drugs, sex, right? Colorful language. Of course, I learned that from my mom and dad, if I'm honest. And my mom could speak curse in three different languages. But the world is what I was looking for. I wanted to get out of my house. I wanted to be a part of the world. I wanted to grow my hair long. But that wasn't going to happen in the captain's house. And as I got older, when I started seeing, I can get that, I can have that, then I started taking different jobs. I was a bartender, you know. I sold cars for 25 years. You know, I bartended, I managed a couple of bars for a while. You know, I did construction work, I drove truck for a bit, I worked in a lumber yard. I even did colorful things. Yes, some of you heard. There's nobody here that was there then. But yeah, I was even a male stripper at one time. And I did that, and of course, Mary told her mom that I was in construction because that was one of my get-ups. So, and imagine how me wanting the world opened up when I was doing that, right? I mean, here's the world. The first time that I mentioned that in my very first testimony years ago, I guess Morgan was probably about 10 years old or 12 years old, and she was sitting in the back row with a bunch of her friends. And now she had never heard that before. I'd never shared that with her. Her mouth went like that. I could see it from up the pulpit. But that's life. You see, life takes us down those places. And you can imagine, by doing that, the kind of places that takes you. So that gives you money. That gives you the things of the world that you look at. He makes it all nice and pretty. The world. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to make it pretty. The pretty, worldly stuff that becomes sin in our lives. And red. That's the lust of our life, my life. See, lust is everything else. Lust is when I covet something. Lust is when I want something that doesn't belong to me. Lust is when I want something more than I want him. How many times did I fall into that lust? How hard is it to do today? This is what kills us, brothers and sisters. See, because this comes from pride. All sin comes from pride, to be honest, but this is the one. Because we lust after other things. We covet We want the things that we can't have, we shouldn't have, that goes against the will of God. And we know it, and yet we run. We run to it. I'm going to say that I wish I could say that I wake up one morning and just not have any of this. But it's here. It's built in me. I still want that F-350 dually crew cab XLT with a diesel four-wheel drive. I still want that. Right? That's just one thing that I lust for. I pray to God every day that He would get rid of that in my life. I still want the truck. But everything else. Because I'm a lustful person. I'm telling you right here, sitting in front of you. I have lust in my heart. I can't overcome it by myself. I can't. I'm too weak. Satan is too strong for me. I want to get the red out of my life. I want him to go away. And yet I wake up every morning knowing that I'm going to face the red in my life. Something is going to come up. I've done things like sharing. Things that should never have happened. Things that I knew better than to do. Things that I grieve about even today. That, like I tell you, that sometimes I give back, I give to the Lord, but sometimes I don't quite let go. I keep my fingertips on them. That lust in my life. I would love to wake up and it be gone. And live this life without it. For a day. I would take a day. This lust. This is me. Black is my sin. This sin that's hurt my family, hurt my friends, but more than anything, hurt my Jesus. The sins that I made the choice to do. See, I can't blame Adam and Eve for my sins. For me making my choices, they didn't do it. And certainly Satan knows what I like. And yet, the door opens and I walk through. And I'm not any different than any one of you. I don't wake up in the morning sinless. I don't go to bed at night sinless. Heck, sometimes my dreams are not sinless. There is nothing easy about this life because of this. My life, my sin is my hell on earth. Because I don't want it. And just like Paul, the things that I know I should do, I don't do. And the things that I shouldn't do, I do. I know I shouldn't sin, and yet I do. And we all go through the same thing, and if you haven't, if you're not right now, you will. But this sin in my life is what separates me from God. Do you know what it feels like to be separated from God? Do you know what it feels like to be separated from somebody that you love? And you can't talk to them. And you can't communicate. You can't see them. It's lonely. It's hard. It feels like you can't get up in the morning. You can't sleep at night. To know that you are removed from God because of your sin. Because He cannot look on our sin. My life was black with sin. And then, if I'm honest, Mary and I's relationship was a little bit rocky. We had two kids. You know, we were trying to figure things out. You know, hanging on. You know, sometimes acting through it. A lot of people have heard this story before, but I'm going to tell you again for those that haven't. I want to say, let's see, Miles was probably about, 10 years old, 9 or 10 years old maybe. Marcus would have been 4 or 5. Marcus was in a stroller. It was a nice summer night. And at the house in Indian Head, we lived so we could walk in a circle. So walk down our street and walk over and then walk up the next street and then down 210 back to our house. And we were walking past past Indian Head Baptist Church. And they were letting out from their evening service on a Sunday. And on the front porch was Leon Bateman, the pastor, and his wife. Well, I knew Leon because Leon, I had sold cars to. And then, you know, as we were walking past, people I'd gone to school with started coming out. Other people I'd sold cars to started coming out. And I was going, hey, maybe we can try going there, you know? I mean, now, understand that I grew up Catholic, okay? I was a religious snob. Mary will tell you that her mom and her tried to get me to go to their church, First Baptist of St. Charles, for years, and I would go on special occasions because I grew up Catholic. I knew everything I needed to know about the Bible because I spent years in catechism, right? I was indoctrinated. And to this day, and I'm not speaking against the Catholic religion, I'm just telling you what my relationship, what my experience is. So, to this day, I can, and Chris will attest to it, and so can Leo probably, I can go into a Catholic Mass and know when to stand up and sit down and what to, and all the genuflections and all, everything that goes with it. It's in me. And so I knew enough about the Bible after all those years about catechism that I knew that man standing up there at that pulpit shouldn't be up there. He's married. He's enjoying the flesh, and the priest is giving up everything for his life, right? So I want to listen to no man who's got kids and is enjoying, you know, the fruits of life when a priest and nuns give up everything. That's my mentality. That's just some background. So then we finally started going to Indian Head Baptist. Now, Sherry, I've known, you know, for a long time, and Lisa, And Mark, I knew for a long time, and there were others in the church at the time. Mike, of course, my experience with Mike, I was training to be a lifeguard, and just one of my favorite Mike O'Neill stories is Mike was a lifeguard too. He was a senior lifeguard, and in order to get my lifeguard training certificate, Mike had to test me. And so Mike was in the deep end of the pool. I had to jump in the deep end of the pool, and he was floundering. I had to rescue him and bring him to the safety. That man right there, he was nothing but muscle and sinew then, right? I had him I was doing good, man. I had him in a cross shoulder. I was doing my side, right? For every stroke I took, Mike would spin in the water, like this. Spin me, all the way. I spun all the way to the low end, but I got him to the low end. Anyway, so I've known these people for a long, long time. So I was more and more comfortable, but I still wasn't going. I still wasn't going often. I would go every once in a while. Mary went, and she was taking the kids, and I wanted her to. But Sunday was my only day off. I had things to do. And then I have to say it was the Lord, the Holy Spirit working in my life that made me join one of the Sunday school classes. The Holy Spirit, Christ in my life. So at Indian Head Baptist, they had a Sunday school class for near about anybody that needed one. Well, I didn't feel like I belonged to any specific group because I was just, in the beginning, if I'm honest, I never said this to you before. In the beginning, I did it just so that she would be happy. Yes, dear. You know, I did it because, you know, I wanted the kids to see me there. I wanted her I wanted her to know. But what I didn't expect is when I started that God would start breaking down walls. My religious walls, my Catholic walls, right? The things that I've grown up to understand. And that class was called the mixed up adult class. I belonged in there for sure because I was certainly mixed up. And Sherry's husband, Biff, was the teacher. God had a purpose. Because Biff knew where I came from. Because he had grown up with the same indoctrination. And so Biff would break it down. Then God's Holy Spirit would break it down even further. But I still wasn't biting. But that Spirit was in me. It was moving. So in May 1997, Mary had finally decided that she was going to go up and join the church. And I kept telling her, go, I'm not going. I ain't joining this church. I'll come, but I ain't joining. Because, you know, Catholic. She got up, I got up to move out of her way so she can go down the aisle, and I can only explain it as God putting his mighty boot in my backside, because I felt an actual push toward the front of the church. And I'm going, what am I doing? Mary didn't even know I was behind her. She didn't even know I was there till Leon reached out his hand to shake my hand and ask me that question. Do you accept? Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do I accept him? And I said, hell yeah. Sorry, guys. But I did. Leon gave me a stern talking to after that. No, he didn't. I'm kidding. And I mean to tell you that in that moment, as unspectacular as it was to the rest of the world observing it, that my life changed. It changed because all of that stuff, all of that darkness, all of the world, all of a sudden wasn't important to me. I'm not saying that it went away, because it never does. It's like for a smoker. You know, every time you smell a cigarette, you want one. Every time, you know, you're in a stressful situation, you want one. It's the same thing with sin for me. Every time there's something, I'm still a sinner. But on that day, if I could say there was a light in my life just like that, that's what it was. And for those of you that knew me before, some had sat at a bar with me and drank. And for those, you know, that knew me after, I didn't need any of the world anymore. I think I've told you before. I changed my radio stations. I didn't watch anything. I mean, I'm a Stephen King fanatic. I had all of his books. I stopped reading them. And then God just started working. He just started working. And the light of Christ came into my life. But I didn't know it was a light yet, you see? Because I had it hidden. Because I wasn't sure in my worldly brain, my heart knew it. But my head wasn't quite sure. And some of you are there right now. Some of you got Jesus. But that's all you got. You got him hidden for a little bit. You're not quite sure what to do with him. I get it. I was there. I was in the car business. I was around rough people. You know, all day. I grew up in a rough environment in the military. You know, flowery language wasn't, you know, absent from my life. But what happened is that the flowery language coming from this mouth stop coming out. The attitude stopped coming out. My patience grew tenfold. I often say that if I have a gift, it's patience. That God has given me patience. Some people think that I'm so laid back that I'm going backwards. But the light of God, the light of Christ was in my life. And I had to have it. I had to have it. It had to be a part of me. So I started going to church all the time. If the doors were open, I was there. If there was a meeting going on that I was allowed to go to, then I went. I was there. I went to lunch with Leon 3 times a week. He would stop by the dealership and we would go to lunch. And we just worked. And God continued to work. Then all of a sudden, guess what? I'm a Sunday school teacher. Believe that? I didn't even like talking to people. Except to say, unless you were going to buy a car. And here's the other thing, you know. That was another reason to go to the church. Is that, hey, there's a lot of prospects in there. That's an opportunity. It took a long time for that car salesman to go away. But, so I started teaching Sunday school. Sherry's youngest daughter, Sally, was in my first class. Then they didn't fire me. We just colored a lot. And then I took over the youth, or was part of the youth. And then they wanted me to be a deacon. Then I was the chairman of the deacons. And then one day, Leon says, you know, you'd be a good preacher, a good pastor. I'm going, go on with your bad self. There's no way that I am going to get up there and talk to anybody. And one Sunday, this tells you that we're not a proper Baptist church. They have a Baptist Men's Day, Baptist Women's Day. Well, on that Baptist Men's Day, Leon was going to be out of town. We took turns speaking, taking over the service. And so nobody would just talk. So I said, oh, I could probably talk. So I did. I think my first message lasted maybe 7 minutes, 5 minutes. And my first sermon was about an orange. Maybe one day I'll rewrite that and share it with you. And then it was just like the Lord started talking to me. And he gave me more opportunities. And Leon gave me more opportunities and mentored me. And then one day, silly church, they saw Jesus in me. You know what they did? They ordained me to preach. Can you believe that? Me, a car salesman. Me, a sinner. Me, broken Mark Hassagen. And then there's growth. Growth in my life. Not because of anything that I've done, but only what God has done. To him be the glory. I don't know if I help you guys. You might think I'm a nice guy. There are people here that don't like me. That's okay. I'm okay with that. But God continues to grow. I know that he has plans for me. I know that he has plans for every one of you. And that the growth in my life is because of him, not because of me. Because of what his word does for me, what his spirit does for me, what the light of Christ does for me. I ain't nothing special. I'm no scholar. I tell you that all the time. I'm just me. I'm just me. I'm just Mark. You don't have to call me pastor. You don't have to call me any of that. I'm just me. And so, growth in our life continues. All right, I'm wrapping up. Growth in my life is going to continue until I draw my last breath. And with that growth, For all those that hear me right now, I apologize. I apologize if I've done something wrong. I apologize if I've hurt you, if I've misled you, if I've done anything. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your understanding that all of these things that are covered in the whiteness of God's mercy and grace in my life. In the grace of God. That's me. That's me. All of that is what makes me who I am. In John 3:16 and 17, connect them. Jesus said, what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, even me, even sinful, broken Mark, that believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn me, but that the world through him might be saved. The world, me, you. Are you saved? I'm nothing special. I'm just me. And God's promise, John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's a promise. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then he says to his disciples, and whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. And then Thomas says to him, we all know Thomas, right? Thomas, the doubter. Lord, we know not where you go. How can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Brothers and sisters, that's the truth. I breathe that every day. I live that every day. I know that because I am saved because of that. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I thank God that in the hands of the potter that he took this soul, this person, this Mark, and has made him and remade him and made him and remade him over and over, because I am sinful. I am broken. I am marred. And he remakes me. He remakes me. And this last big pot, notice it's bigger than the others. This pot has every color that were on those pots. That's me. but is covered by the Spirit of God in a coat of white. My soul, my life. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Because of the grace of God in my life, in this mixed up bag of mess, of shards and color, I can shine the light of Christ to the rest of the world. God uses all of that to reach the people that he places in my life, just as he does in your life. There's nothing special about me. It's all about him. Me in the hands of the potter. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, how thankful I am for the love that you've given me. Lord, for anything that you've given me that I'm able to glorify you, Lord, never for myself, but always for you. I thank you for the words today, Father. I thank you for the life, even the tough spots, even the parts that we didn't have time to talk about. Lord, that you would provide the opportunity to share when necessary. Lord, be with my brothers and sisters. Show them that they are the light. That as broken as their lives are, that you are the one who puts us back together. That you take all the colors of our lives and cover it with your Holy Spirit and make us white as snow. We thank you, we love you, and we honor you. We praise your holy name, precious name of Jesus Christ. All God's children said, amen. And so, you know what we're going to do. We're going to sing another song. I tried not to go down rabbit holes. But, you know, I'm not 25 years old either, so I had a lot of life to cover. We're going to sing this last song. You know what we're going to do? We're going to sing the song. If you want to join the church, if you want to come up and pray, you can do it. You can come up here. You can come see me in the back of the church if you want. But if you are unsure, if you have a place in your heart where you feel that nudging, where you have a hole in your heart, because we're all searching. And if you're still searching, if you're looking to the world for something to satisfy you, that hole is not going to get filled by anybody but Jesus. Don't wait. Because tomorrow never comes. We don't know our last breath. We don't know when God's going to take us out of here. But one day, you have to be ready. You have to be ready to just give it all up, right? You got to be ready to just say, you know, that Jesus, you need me. Jesus, I need you in my heart. I can't do this life by myself. Jesus, this can't happen. Jeff, cue the music. No, I'm kidding. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, Say, not today, Satan. Not today, Satan. And not tomorrow either. Can we do that?
To trust him more.
Precious Jesus, amen. Amen. Look, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I'm nobody but a redeemed sinner. That's what I am. You know, Sherry's story and my Sherry story are very similar. You know, I'm sure some of your stories might intersect along the same lines. You understand there's no judgment. There's no judgment. That's not my place. All we got is love. And because of who I am and how... yes, I'm losing pieces too. And how I got here is just the kaleidoscope of colors that God has put in my life to make me who I am. And it's the same for you. It's the same for you. So your challenge is, what's your testimony? What's your testimony? It doesn't have to last an hour like mine. What's your testimony? Come to Christ if you don't. If you don't have one, please, please. If you want to know how to get there, I will be there. Anybody in this church is going to help you. Just don't wait. Now I'm going to take this back there. If anybody want to take a piece of today with you, otherwise it's going in the big blue file cabinet out back. God bless you. I love you. Stick around for the business meet if you're interested. It shouldn't be too long. Peace. I'm out. You want to close this?
Absolutely.
You got the voice?
Sure. Father God, we thank you for the testimonies. Lord, it's through our trials that we get our testimonies from. And I thank you for these lives. I thank you, Father God, for the stories that are in this room. Because each one of these stories is a potential testimony. Lord, help us to be ready to share that, because there's somebody that needs to hear it. Somebody who may be feeling that they're less than what you want them to be. But as he said, there is no judgment. And I pray, Father God, that you bring us close to you, that you give us our testimony, that we can bring others close to you. And we pray, Father God, as we go into this business meeting, that you guard and guide us in our words. And even as we leave here, look for those times, Father, to be your light, to be your colors. And Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.